Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, March 8th, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 42, the second paragraph, and it begins with, "Then they outlined the spiritual answer and program of action," and we'll be studying that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Robin T., the 12 Traditions will be Shelley E., and the readers of the text are Kara L. and Betsy H. The share ID for Monday, March 7th, Sunday, March 7th, is 16,534, that's 16534. And for this morning's meeting, Monday, March 8th, 7 a.m., is 16,537. That's 16357. Our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and our announcement person is Leslie M. Thank you all for your service. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Robin P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Robin.
Hi, Mo House. Thank you so much. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. The 12 steps of OA. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you. God bless you.
And thank you, Robin P. And I will now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, fellow travelers. I'm Shelley E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. And these are the 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Shelley, for stepping in there. Appreciate that. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 42. It's the second paragraph down. Then they outline the spiritual answer and program of action, and I will ask Kara L. to get us started. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Mo. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Then they outline the spiritual answer and program of action, which 100 of them had followed successfully. Though I had only been a nominal churchman, their proposals were not intellectually hard to swallow. But the program of action, though entirely sensible, was pretty drastic. It meant I would have to throw several lifelong conceptions out the window. This was not easy. But the moment I made up my mind to go through with the process, I had a curious feeling that my alcoholic condition was relieved, as in fact, it proved to be. Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Boy, this paragraph packs a punch for me this morning. Because I remember the first time I looked at the steps and I thought, oh, no problem. I'll just do 1, 2, and 3. Yeah, I got it. I have a belief in higher power. If it were that easy, that would be great. And then we get to the second part of the paragraph. It meant I would have to throw several lifelong conceptions out the window. That sentence still speaks to me today. It still speaks to me as my continued growth, the spiritual growth in this program, the development in this program today, because things that I just believe are foundationally true have turned out not to be, right? My whole life, I thought I had to fix everything and that it was up to me. And there was no room for a higher power in my life. There was no habit of asking a higher power for guidance and direction in my life. And, you know, I had the curious feeling my alcohol condition was relieved, as fact it proved to be. You know, I'm going to jump up just before that. It says, but the moment I made up my mind to go through with the process, The moment that I opened the door, just a crack. The moment that I took, you know, that third step decision and just said, okay, I might not be in charge here. I might need help for something greater than me. Then recovery began. You know, then, and that last line is just always the hope. I love how this book, this beautiful book is written with hope. Everywhere it's in there, it's hope. Look, it's there for everyone. It's there for you too. You know, and it's not, it wasn't, you know, it's simple but not easy, right? So I read it today and I say, oh yeah. But when I was back 15 years, I didn't say, oh yeah. You know, when I was struggling and it just took continued action, doing the things I know today that bring that surrender. Today that remind me, oh, there's something greater than you. Check in with that something, you know. And, you know, and I do it little things. I ask God, you know, all the time for God's opinion because I know that I need help today. And this is like a thing in my life that has changed hugely is knowing that I don't have the answers and that something greater than me does. It was a, you know, I had to throw away a lifelong conception in my life. And as soon as I did, the miracles started happening. I'm excited to hear what everybody has to say today. Thank you, Mo. I'm just wrapping up there, and I will pass.
Appreciate that. Thank you so much, Kara, for getting us started. And for those of you just getting on the line, we're on page 42, the second paragraph down. Then they outline the spiritual answer and program of action, which Kara just got us started off with, that one paragraph only. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share today?
Dana P.
Dana P.
Sherry.
Carol P.
Carol P., did you say?
Carol G. is in George.
G. Okay, thanks, Carol. There was someone else in there.
Sherry H. M.
Sherry H. M.
Judy F.
Patty D.
Judy, was that F, Judy?
S is in Sam.
S, so F and S, yeah. And there was somebody else in there, too.
Patty D.
Patty D. Okay, I can take one more.
Yvonne C.
I got you, Yvonne. Okay. Okay, here's who I have. Everybody else, please mute except Dana P. I have Dana P, Carol G, Sherry H.M., Judy S., Patty D., and Yvonne C. Okay, Dana, get us started, and you'll be followed by Carol G. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Joe. Dana P. here in California. Thank you, sir, for your service. Always so great to be on this meeting. Several lifelong conceptions. I thought I knew, and I did know a few things. I knew how to get what I wanted. I was fiercely independent in so many other ways, but I had no power over this food addiction, the compulsion to eat and stuff myself and to purge by vomiting. I had no control over that, although I must say at times I believe that I did. For 41 years, I tried to take control of that without the help of a higher power, without the help of my fellows. And ultimately what they say, this outlines the solution. And what was that solution? Well, steps 1, 2, and 3, yeah. Even then, that was one of my conceptions, I believe, that God was going to take care of this. You know, all I had to do was say, you know, please take it away from me. And I believed that that was the way it would happen. What I didn't know that this program has taught me is that I had to take responsibility and do the action steps, 4 through 12, continuously, daily. It was huge. And I remember my sponsor telling me, You know, we need to determine whether or not you truly have this disease, because if you don't, and I hope and pray that you don't, because it's a hell of a lot of work. And I am so grateful for the hell of a lot of work, because I am recovered today, working with others, which ultimately really is what God wants of me, to be of service to Him and my fellows, and to the beauty and the glory that that this program has to show us. And so I'm just so grateful for everyone on the line that God woke me up this morning to another beautiful day, and that I have a solution, that that I will be well as long as I stay connected. And that is moment by moment. I pray moment by moment that God takes my hand and guides me through every thought, deed, and action today, just today. That's it. So thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Dana P. Carol G., followed by Sherry H.M. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. The minute I heard the word action, I just something perked up and said, oh, I love that word. That was not the case before program. I just loved not doing anything. I was so afraid of living that I would, and this also connects to that sentence where it says, I would have to throw several lifelong conceptions out the window. Well, my lifelong conceptions were my limited, small, finite self and what I couldn't do. It was so painful. All these things I wanted to be able to do, but I couldn't because of, just having this self-concept, that's not me, I can't do this, that it was so frustrating I had to eat over it. And because of working the steps, I have been relieved of that limited self-concept. And at times, not all the time, I'm able to view life and myself like God would have me. Like when I do the 10th step and I ask God, what would you have me be? I'm amazed. I get the answer immediately. It's almost like He's sitting there waiting for me to ask. And it's always larger than life. It's always, you know what to do, just go do it. Don't think about it. Take action. And I was telling my sponsor that if I listen to God's guidance all day, I go from one thing to the next and the next. And it's so new to me, I almost get exhausted. And I just have to say, okay, I just have to read or just zone out for a few minutes. But it's a wonderful way to be in the moment and live life. And I owe it to this program. I'm putting down the food. So thank you all for listening, and I pass.
Thank you, Carol G. Sherry H.M., followed by Judy S. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. Thank you for your service, Mo. This is Sherry H.M. from Mount Vernon, Washington State. Oh, wow. I just love this program, and I love how it says it's a spiritual answer, spiritual answer and program of action, and then it repeats it later. It's a program of action, and it just reminds me of the miracle of this program. I can't, God can, and I think I'll let Him for, gosh, many, many years, decades. I just couldn't master this problem I had with always thinking about food and diets and, you know, what size of jeans I should wear, whatever, all that. And I just love how they say it's not a program for those who want it. It's not a program for those who need it, but it's a program for those who do it. So decided to do that several years ago, and letting go of the illusion of control, that I could control and master, you know, the food, the body image issues. And I'm just so very grateful. I worked the steps with a vision sponsor, and it's been 6.5 years now, and about 6 years of food neutrality. So mostly that the food and obsession of the, you know, thinking, the obsession of the allergy of the body, obsession of the mind isn't taking up the hard drive in my brain. So anyway, thank you so much, and I pass.
And thank you, Sherry H.M. Judy S., followed by Patty D. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning. My name is Judy S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, I love hearing all these shares on this paragraph because there is so much. And what struck me this morning was, though entirely sensible, was pretty drastic. Yeah, it is, because I'm a mess. You know, I was a mess, a hot mess when I came into this program, and at that point was only when I was hopeless, I was out of ideas, you know, I was beaten down. Only then was I willing to do something drastic. And it is pretty drastic. For those of us who come in and aren't willing to take these drastic measures, you know, to do this work, it's not going to work. And that was my experience for 8 years, in and out of relapse. And now I was willing to take those drastic measures. And, you know, for somebody who's, you know, they're telling them about the program and, yeah, this all sounds sensible and la, la, la. And, but, oh, gosh, really? I have to do that? I have to throw all my conceptions out the window? But then if we're hopeless enough, if we're out of answers, then, you know, you just have to make up your mind. And the moment that you do and you go through the process, it's amazing, because that's what happened to me. So I love this program because there are so many people I hear every single day who are recovered and stay recovered. And then the people who are recovered and then you hear they go into relapse, they share why. And then I can learn from that. And so I have to continue to take these, work this program every day. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy S. Patty D., followed by Yvonne C. And after Yvonne, I will be taking more names. So Patty D., you're up.
Thank you. Hi, this is Patty D., compulsive overeater from North Carolina. Thanks so much, Mo, for your service, and I have gained so much from your shares as well as everyone on the line. I shared about a week and a half ago, I guess, that I was just coming out of a really bad relapse, and that Friday, I guess it's been a week and a half now, that I've been abstinent, and before that, I had tried several times, and the key word there is I had tried to get my abstinence back, and I would go a day or two and bam, lose it. And yet this time it was like I glided into it. And that's not to say there haven't been moments where it's been more difficult, but I realized that what was different was exactly what was different here. Spiritual answer. And even though I thought I had a close relationship with God, I wasn't giving him my food. I wasn't giving him that part of my life. I was holding on to it, this clenched fist. And even when I was absent and recovered before, I was doing that in my own power. And so even though when you read this paragraph, I just so identify with him, where he says that the program of action, though entirely sensible, was pretty drastic. When I share with people what my program is, they look at me like I'm crazy.
I could never do that.
Well, I can't either. it's God. God helps me do it. And so, yeah, I still have a long way to go, but I'm doing it a day at a time. And the other night, I really wanted to drive to the ice cream store because I'm having issues with my husband. And I sat myself down and I just prayed. I was like, Lord, please don't let me do this. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. And yeah, I could have called a fellow, but I just went to God and he helped me. And I'm realizing that this is what I was missing all the time before. So I don't know if that helps anybody, but I just wanted to share that because this paragraph really struck me that my essence is not in my power. It's in his. So thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty, very much. And before I take Yvonne C., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 42, the second paragraph, and then they outline the spiritual answer and program of action. And after Yvonne, I will take more names. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, and thank you for allowing me to share. I'm still white-knuckling it, and I have to go 1 minute at a time, sometimes an hour at a time at this point, but I had to express this morning my gratefulness for this meeting and its message because I need to be reminded on a daily basis of who I am and what I have and why I do what I do. Holding on, I have been living in my head for so long, holding on to lifelong concepts that didn't serve me with the not only self-limiting, but also the illusion that I had control. And I am so grateful to have this meeting and the people who were willing to share and give of themselves to help remind me of how the simple actions that are difficult to do, but there's a plan, there's a way, there's a recovery, and I am so, so grateful to be here and part of this beautiful expression of God's love. I want to thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Yvonne C. And so if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, so that
Shelly
would be
A.
Wednesday, please wait.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Please wait to, you know what I'm saying, 3 days, watch yourself. All right, what do we got here? Who was that, Shelly? No, Sally.
Sally A.
Sally, I got you, Sally. Okay, who else?
Keita from New York.
Evan, you?
Oh, Keita. Okay, wait a minute. Keita. And then who was that? Evan, you? I got you, Evan.
Thank you.
Elaine S.
Audrey M.P.
I got Melinda. Elaine S. Wait a minute. Elaine S. and Audrey M.P. And who was after Audrey?
Melinda.
Melinda. Okay, we'll stop right there. Sorry to the rest of you. Maybe there might be time, depending on shares. Melinda H. Okay, I got Sally A. I got Keita. I didn't get your last initial, Keita. Evan U. Elaine S. Audrey M.P. and Melinda H. Okay, everyone else please mute and just Sally A. You're up.
Can you hear me?
I can. Loud and clear.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks so much for letting me share. I'm Sally A., and I am recovered in New York. I'm working step 11. Of course, I'm working all of the steps every day. But what I love about this paragraph and this very first sentence I think is so profound is then they outlined the spiritual answer. We know that the steps are the spiritual answer and that they are a program of action because step 10 and 11 and 12 leave us in a program of action that includes 1 through 9 in step 10, hopefully till forever, for each one of us forever. But when it says that they outlined a spiritual answer, I like to hone in on that because it's hard for people to recognize, and most importantly, it's hard for me to remember that this is about my relationship with my higher power. It says this all over the place. I pulled up very quickly one of them that came to mind on page 29. in the second paragraph on page 29, each individual in the personal stories describes in his own language and from his own point of view the way he established his relationship with God. And so when it tells us that they outlined a spiritual answer, they're talking about establishing his relationship, our relationship with God. And for me, having just gone through the steps again, I am again reminded that this is about my relationship with God, my fears of the future, my resentments about the past, and about staying here in today and connecting myself to my higher power, to my God. And that is the spiritual answer for me to stay out of the future and all of its fears and stay out of the past and all of its resentments toward me and myself and a whole bunch of other people and stay right here in today. That's the spiritual answer to develop my relationship with my higher power today. And that's my goal for today, no matter what happens today, that I'm going to take the hand of my higher power and hold on tight one moment at a time, so that I'm working the steps, which I believe that's the goal of these 12 steps, to draw me closer to my higher power. Thanks so much for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Sally A. And I believe it was Keita. No, I don't think I'm right.
Yes, it's Keita.
Okay. And what's your last initial, Keita?
It's D as in day.
Okay. And then where are you from?
From New York.
Okay. Thank you, Keita. You're on.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Keita D, a compulsive overeater from upstate New York. And 3 weeks ago today, I arrived at this meeting, Vision for You. And it was so amazing. The word drastic, I interpreted it a little bit differently because I actually fell on the stairs about 6 weeks ago and broke my ankle. So I'm home from work all of last month and this month. And I was so deep in the food and in depression. I felt like I was in like a dark auditorium. And then I made the vision call at the encouragement of my sponsor. And it was like little flickers, you know, like back in the day in the concerts where people would light a match or lighter. I guess today it would be like glow sticks or their cell phone. Like it just lit up. Every time we read a paragraph in the big book and you all share, it's like more flickers of light in my soul. And I haven't eaten flour and sugar since that Tuesday. So like it was Monday I came and I couldn't not eat the rest of what was in my apartment. I couldn't bring myself to throw it away. So I finished what I had and I committed to God and my sponsor that I would not order Instacart because I can't go anywhere. I have a broken ankle. And I was tempted like 2 weeks ago and then I just went into action, you know, and God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And even this morning, my tummy was rumbling and I felt hungry, but it wasn't time to eat. And I was like, God help me. And so I got to do service and help someone with their second step and pray with someone before her job interview. And you know what? I wasn't hungry anymore. I was like, what kind of fairy dust is this? So I'm just so thankful that I can take action instead of hurting myself with food anymore. And I have so much hope because of this fellowship. I just want you all to know every single share, the moderators, all the service you do, I just felt such an outpouring of love. And for the first time in a very long time, I don't feel the urge to compulsively overeat. And if I feel a little tendril of something, I have something else I can do, and it's interrupted the cycle. Thank you so much for letting me share. This is Keita D. from New York.
Well, thank you, Keita D. Evan U, followed by Elaine S. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning. Hi, everyone. This is Evan U from California. Happy to be here. I haven't been on the line and shared in a while. I've been listening to all of you and all the wonderful wisdom on the podcast. Thank you for you, those of you who do service, and thank you, everybody, for working such strong programs and inspiring me. This just hit me today, and I really wanted to share. It's just like just throwing away several lifelong conceptions, because I really feel like this time around in the steps, that's been the journey for me. I've had to throw away all conceptions, especially of God. You know, it's like I had a higher power coming in, and I had to get rid of that idea and revolutionize my idea of my higher power. And it wasn't about picking up and making a new conception, but dropping all my conceptions altogether. And I worked the wonderful sponsor in OA, and instead of me trying to figure out my food, she had me really bring it to God. And so the process has been erasing all my concepts about food. The times that I relapsed have been when I was in abstinence, and then I thought I could improve on that abstinence. I could get down to a little bit less body fat, and I could perfect and tweak what God was doing and make it better. And so letting go of all my ideas about how it should go, you know, and with my food, you know, I had to, you know, certain things, sugar and dairy for me are things that I've just known that I'm powerless over for so long. And so I know I have to stay away from those. And the other stuff is really on the table. Is there something I'm eating that's causing me to eat more, or is it I'm just addicted to volume? And so I had a month there where I was just in exploration with my sponsor and my higher power. And it turned out these other things weren't triggering me. I was addicted to just eating too much, that sensation of being overly full as an addict that I've loved my whole life, you know? And so with the weight, I have to let go of my idea of what percentage body fat I am and how lean I look, because all I'm trying to do is get love from other people. And it's like, I don't need that. I need the love of God and for God to take control over all of it. My food, my body, my weight, my image, all of that stuff. None of that is my domain. And so I have to throw away all my conceptions today. So I'm grateful for this paragraph, and I'm grateful for all of you being here. Have a great one. Evan, you, California.
Thank you, Evan, very much for your share. Elaine S., you're up next, followed by Audrey M.P. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning. This is Elaine S., I'm recovered compulsive overeater in Nashville, Tennessee. Appreciate the opportunity to share. Thank you for hearing me. What jumped out to me was the line, it meant that I would have to throw away several lifelong conceptions out of the window. And the first lifelong conception I had to throw out the window was, it's not that bad. Yeah, I have a little problem with food. It's not that bad. That's not true. It is bad. I mean, it is bad. When you can't stop eating and you're over 200 pounds, how can you say that's not bad? The other lifelong conception is, you know, I just have a little problem with food. When I really want to stop eating, I will. But the reality for me was I came to a point that I really wanted to stop eating, and I couldn't. That was so, I just can't express the pain that came with that. And the fear that came with that. I'm grateful I'm not living that way today. Another lifelong conception I had to throw out the window was I had to really look at the food that I cannot eat one of. I had to sit down and look at, when I'm in this situation, what do I want to eat? When I'm in that situation, what do I want to eat? What thing is in my meal that when it's over, I really wish I could have more? I didn't like looking at these things, but I had to face the reality. And when I faced the reality, then things began to change. And not in my own strength, but in the strength that I've gotten from working the steps, from listening to the honest experiences of others, and being willing to let God be God in my life and not food be God in my life. That was the other time, one of the other conceptions I had to go. I mean, food was my God. That was a scary thing to admit, too. But I'm grateful that as I admit these things, then recovery opens up for me. And I bet you my time is about up. So thank you for letting me share. Elaine S., Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, you have another minute.
Oh, I'm good. I said all I needed to say. Thank you, Mo.
Thank you, Elaine. Okay. Audrey M.P., followed by Melinda H. And after Melinda, we may have time for one more. Audrey? Good morning.
Good morning, Team Monday. Thank you, everybody who shared, and for everybody putting the meeting together. This is Audrey M.P. I'm calling from bright and shiny Southern California today. And I appreciate all the read. what came true for me in the reading today, and why I'm moved to share, is that I made up my mind to go through the process. I had the curious feeling that my alcohol condition was relieved, as in fact it proved to be. But I made up my mind to go through the process. So about 12 pages ago, we're on page 42. On page 30, we had read a paragraph about controlling and enjoying. And I wasn't losing weight. You know, I've considered myself abstinent, but I'm not losing weight. And someone said, you need to look at your food. And so I wrote a list of all the foods that I control and enjoy. Oh my God. And it was a real honest appraisal of controlling and enjoying, and what I thought, you know, I have a food sponsor and she's just rolling with it. I also have 27 years of recovery from bulimia. So I think, I get a special condition because of that, you know, because of the mental twist with my food. But I met someone, I wanted to do the steps again, and I met someone and we're going through the steps and I was showing her my foods, my control and enjoy. She goes, why don't we try a little less of this and a little less of that and see what happens? And I was like, no, it's tall order. But I made up my mind to go through the process, and I have about 12 days of this new considered food plan. And I ask her when I send my, am I skinny yet? Am I skinny yet? And it's not just that. It's like when I drink plain water, I really pray to God and thank him for fresh, clear water, you know, and not all the other things that I put in my water or that I put in my water, all the things I've put in. So I just want to be really grateful for my abstinence today and for hearing everybody share. I do think that's pretty drastic, you know, the changes. But I know so many of you on this line are entirely abstinent and abstain from these things and have recovery and know that the condition is relieved. And I just can't wait till it's tomorrow. So I can, for today, thank you. I pass.
And thank you, Audrey MP. And I'll just remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 42, the second paragraph down. Then they outline the spiritual answer. And after Melinda, I might be able to take one more. Good morning, Melinda. Sorry about that. Press
Hi.
Star one. Oh, there you are. Okay, go ahead.
Hi, this is Melinda, compulsive reader. And I think that sentence, it meant I would have to throw several lifelong conceptions out of the window, is right on target for me today. In the evenings, I have just dug in my heels about giving up watching television. But what inevitably happens is that the food cravings start either shortly after I sit down and start watching, they've actually started before and I have continued to try to push them down. So that's a lifelong conception, or at least a very, very, very long time conception. So, I'm reminded of the set aside prayer too. You know, I have to set aside everything that I think I know, because I'm beat up by this. I am beat up by the food and the disease. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Melinda. And so we have 6 minutes. I could take two more shares. Those are
Michelle J.
Michelle J.
Michelle
J. Deborah
Sorry, Pam.
Okay.
M.
I got you, Michelle J. and Deborah P. Sorry about that, Pam. Deborah P. Okay, Michelle, you're up first.
Thanks, Mo. I love you guys. I love everybody on the line. I love you, Evan. Gosh, you guys, what a good day. So why am I recovered today from compulsive overeating? I love everybody's shares. I'm just going to say it in my own way, Michelle J. from Arkansas. Because when I want comfort, I don't go to the comfort food anymore. When I want a best friend, well, I don't go to food for that either. When I'm looking for somebody to stroke me and make me feel good, I don't go to food anymore. I don't hide in my room when I'm afraid and eat anymore. I don't just curl up and isolate away from the world because I'm afraid that they're going to hurt me and I don't trust anybody anymore. I turn everything over to God. It is a remelding of our minds. We will see all through the big book. It is a spiritual awakening. Yes, God does all this. And what does he do? Our God, our higher power. Well, he transforms our minds because our minds are sick. Our minds are defective. Our minds, we can say they're weak. We can say they're sinful. We can say they are insanity, whatever you want to say. It's the mind. And then we have these behaviors that are just habits and things that we've developed over the years. All this, everything that we're, all those things. We have a higher power who is going to, by the rod and the staff, one way or another, if you keep giving it to him, say, I need comfort, he will bring you your comfort. I need safety, he will protect you. I need my wounds mended, he will do that too. He or she or whatever your higher power is, go to that higher power and just, there is a higher power out there, the creator of the universe, as it speaks in the big book, the father of light, which it speaks in the big book. There's several terms that is used. Yes, all those things, instead of going to the food or anything else, go to that higher power. And with that, I'll pass. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you, Michelle. And Deborah P., you'll be our last chair for today. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Deborah P. in Southern California. It's great to be here today. Great to hear everyone share. It's always so, so helpful. Such a great way to start the day. I'm just thinking about the, you know, getting rid of the old ideas. I mean, that took me a really long time to realize that I had some really deeply embedded ideas. I mean, one thing is that I really didn't think this was a disease. I mean, I just thought, well, that is me wanting, you know, like I have to eat this right now. I have to, you know, that's not me. That's the disease. That's, and I think that was kind of the first thing that's like, okay, wait a second. That's the voice of the disease. I'm not going to be listening to that. And, you know, that's kind of how the whole thing started. I'm just super grateful. I need to get back into the steps. I haven't really been in the steps lately. So I'm really thankful that you guys are here this morning. So thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you. We do have time for about a 2-minute share if somebody would like to take that.
Pam M?
Pam M. All right, I got
right.
You.
Hey, look at that.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. So, God's good.
God is good, and that is exactly my message. Pam M. from upstate New York. I'm just coming out of relapse. I had a relapse about a month ago. Excuse me. Just became a foster mom recently too, and I think that's part of me not being able to control things, and you know, I that was definitely my conception. But a big part of my misconception was that I had to live with this disease, that I had to live with being a compulsive overeater, and that God didn't have my back. And somebody had said on the line that, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. And one of the things I cannot change is that the sun will rise every day and that the birds will sing every day. And so I added to this now that, and the thing I cannot change is that God wants me to succeed. God wants me to live at my highest level of vibration so that I can be God-like in this world. And that's what's keeping me recovered today. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for that opportunity.
Perfect. Thank you, Pam. Perfect. Okay, so we will now close this sharing portion of our meeting. And I want to thank all those who gave service today and all those who shared. We have Robin P., Shelley E., Kara L., Betsy H., Lorraine N. doing the newcomer greeters. So if you're a new person on the line, please wait. And we'll get your names after that. And Leslie M. And so I'm going to ask Betsy H. from California to read a vision for you on page 164. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning. Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
And thank you very much, Betsy H. So, I got to stop the recording. Sorry about that.